For you and open up the pages of the Bible and study together from its contents. I'm always appreciative of that. I enjoy preaching. I enjoy being with those of like precious faith. And I enjoy listening to preaching and Bible classes. And I always enjoy our time together. And I hope that it's beneficial to you. I thank you for coming, especially those that are visiting with us. We appreciate you being here. And we hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. If you have questions about what you see or hear, don't be timid. You ask, and we'll strive to give you nothing but a book, chapter, verse, Bible answer for those Bible questions. Again, appreciate you being here. Appreciate the good fashion in which the songs were led and the prayers that were led. Appreciate mentioning me and those prayers. That's encouraging to me, and I thank you for it. I got the title of the lesson on the board before you as we think about the series that we've been doing for a good number of weeks now, When Your Children Ask, from Joshua 4, verses 6 and 7. Now, put the title on the board, Why Abstain from Alcohol, Drugs, Tobacco, and Vaping. There's going to be a time when our young people will ask us that question. Why can I not use alcohol? Why can I not use drugs? Why can I not smoke and use tobacco in various different forms? Why can I not vape? It's a very common one now. But as you think about what is stated, as was read in our hearing, appreciate Ray doing the good job he did in reading 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. We need to so use ourselves to bring glory unto God. And I hope that this lesson will benefit each of us. I've wrote down on that line, I want to mention this before I fail to do so. If you would like to have an opportunity to study some good material, and write down on your calendars the week of July the 19th, before I forget to mention this, the week of July 19th, that actually start on that Tuesday, the 20th through the 22nd. That's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Me and some of my good preaching friends will be out. Levi Jackson, going to have a good number of Bible classes, and you're welcome to come to those. And we'll spend all day on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday studying a wide range of Bible topics with an emphasis on studying difficult Bible passages. I've got a sneak preview of some of those passages we're going to deal with, and they are quite difficult. So I encourage you to come. There's going to be some good preachers that will be there, and I know Randy Barnes from Horton, Alabama will be there. Johnny Edwards from Indiana, you know him. He's held a meeting here. He'll be there, as well as some other preachers and other individuals that will be there to take part in that series of Bible classes. So write that down and try to come if you can. You'll be welcome to come and be with us in that week of study. Why can I not take a drink from now and then? It seems everyone else is doing it. Why can I not use these various different drugs? And I'm not talking about drugs from the standpoint of medicinal purposes, prescribed medication. I'm not talking about that, though you've got to be careful with those as well. But I'm talking about legal drugs. Drugs obtained illegally. Outlines, by the way, are in the bag. Tobacco. Why can I not smoke? Why can I not chew and dip and various different things? Why is that not good for me? And as I mentioned, here's one that is coming up more and more that a lot of our young people are engaged in and want to be engaged in, if not already started. Why can I not vape? Why can I not have an e-cigarette? We need to wrap our mind around some principles that the Bible clearly sets forth before us so that we can understand how to answer our young people when they ask, why do we not do these things? Well, there's a reason why we abstain from the things that I've talked about and put on the board before you. The first one thing I want to mention to you are that the effects of such are really astounding. When you think of the damage that is caused by drugs and alcohol, tobacco, and the like, it's very, very mind-boggling to me. The thousands of deaths that are caused, directly linked, correlated to these things. I'd like to mention some of them to you. When it comes to smoking, more than 480,000 people die annually just in the United States from smoking. More than 41,000 from secondhand smoke. That means just you're not a smoker, but you're exposed to the smoke from those who do. And that averages to 1,300 deaths daily. Now, some of you work in the medical field, and you've seen this firsthand. The effects of such, the repercussions of smoking and secondhand smoke. When it comes to alcohol, more than 95,000 annual deaths, averaging 261 every day. Drunk driving cases are more than 10,000 deaths every year. And that accounts for 33% of all fatal car crashes, related deaths, traffic-related deaths. When it comes to drugs, in 2019, so I'm sure this has changed somewhat, in 2019, there were more than 70,000 deaths in the United States from drug-involved overdose. Chewing tobacco. In 2010, 21 years ago, or 11 years ago, rather, more than 62,000 died due to cancer of the mouth, esophagus, and more than 200,000 deaths were from heart disease. Vaping. It's difficult to find some statistics on vaping because that's somewhat of a new invention. So that's yet to be determined, though there's a lot of warnings given to it. The CDC, though they could not provide statistics, posted this. And I want you to listen to me. It's yet to be determined, however, the CDC recommends, and I quote, "If you don't vape, don't start." That's pretty simple advice, but advice that needs to be heeded. When something is put before you and you don't even know what it's going to do to you, don't do it. Because you'll learn and live to regret it in time to come. When the statistics come out that individuals, as have already been stated, have died from it, had medical complications and the like, you'll regret that you ever began to do it. So don't do it if you haven't started. If you have started, quit. But as you think about the effects of such, it's staggering. Sal's been talking about the home, and I appreciate that good series of Bible lessons because it encourages me as to how I can do better and need to do better. And I hope it does you too. When you think about the devastation that these things play within the home, not to mention every other avenue and every other place in society, but I'm talking about the home. When a lot of fathers don't make it home because they went out and got drunk, got on the highway and they didn't make it home. Or maybe they hit someone who fell victim to a DUI, fatal accident, didn't make it home. Mothers and fathers who didn't make it home to their children, or children who don't make it home because they got out and got themselves involved in the things we're talking about. And then it's sad to me to hear individuals say that, well, it's really just, it's bad, but it's really not that bad. You know, if it only claimed the life of one individual, one child, I'm the father, as you know, of three. If it claimed one of my children, it'd be horrible to me. Maybe not to others, but to me. If it claims the life of an individual who has never obeyed the gospel of Christ, think about how tragic that is for an eternity. And then to say it's not that bad. Why don't we do these things? There's a reason why I abstain from alcohol, drugs, tobacco, and vaping. And I'll stand before you and say that I can't, that the time was that I couldn't stand before you and say that I abstain from several of those things. And so maybe you can be in the category that says, you know what, I have done these things in the past, maybe one, two, or three, or all of them. I'm not the standard, and you're not either. And we've got to direct our attention to what the Scriptures say, as opposed to what I might think about it, how I might feel about it, what I've engaged in the past, whether it was little, much, or a lot, whatever the case may be. The effects are astounding. You know, I used to work in social services, and I would venture to guess, I don't think I'd miss it by a long shot, Probably anywhere from 85 to probably 95% of our cases of children who enter foster care was one way or another directly related to substance abuse, alcohol or drugs. Parents being neglectful and spending the money instead of on food or rent or the electric bill, going out and trying to buy their next high. Getting out and driving around high with the kids in the car. Fathers and mothers getting high and then beating on one another, beating on the children. And the list just goes on and on. I used to work with the coroner's office for a good number of years, and I can't tell you how many accidents and me and the deputy coroners went out on, and the coroner himself, and removed bodies that were related because of drugs or alcohol. Somebody got high, decided that tomorrow wasn't worth living, took their own life. Hanged themselves, shot themselves, drug overdose, car wrecks, burn victims, drowned victims. And the list goes on and on. Some of you in law enforcement, you've seen that firsthand. You know what I'm talking about. And we think sometimes that because we are God's people that we are immune from some of these things. I think not. I know not. We've got to be careful that we abstain from some of these things. Do you realize that people who are addicts most of the time can recall very vividly the time when they took their first drink, where they were at, what they were doing, what they drank for the first time, what they smoked for the first time, what they sniffed, snorted for the first time, inhaled, whatever the case may be. And I've never talked to one that said, you know what, I'm glad I did that. But I've talked to many that say, I wish I would have never done that to begin with. The hindrances of these things that I've put on the board are numerous. What does it hinder? If I were to ask you to pull out a sheet of paper and write down some things that an individual would be hindered as a result of alcohol, drugs, tobacco, and vaping. Now, not all these things will do the same thing, but a lot of them are similar. And I put all of them on the board for you to think about, because some of them have in common some of the things we're talking about. And some of them are not are pretty peculiar to one or two of them, not the others, but nonetheless, when you think about how these things hinder, what would you put on that piece of paper? Could you think of some things that you'd be hindered from doing as a result of these things I've put on the board? I want to mention some of them to you. There's probably more than what I've put down. I've only put a few. I put down 18 on your outline. And I'm sure that there are many other things that we could talk about. When you think about alcohol, drugs, tobacco, and I put vaping down, things that you are hindered from doing with one, two, three, or all four of these, I want you to notice, first of all, that your ability to have good health is hindered. My health is not today what it used to be. I wish it was. A lot of that is due to age, and probably a lot due to what I eat. But when you think about things you put in your body, it is drastically going to hinder your health. You've heard the saying, you are what you put in your body. There's a lot of truth in that. You put junk in your body, that's the performance you're going to get. And we need to realize that. Think about the statistics I gave to you. And the way that your health is going to be drastically slowed down. People who smoke are not able to breathe today like they used to be able to breathe when they first started. People who do drugs today are not able to perform like they used to perform in a variety of different ways. Though many times we find ourselves in denial, oh, I can still do what I used to be able to do. Your ability is hindered to have a positive influence on others. You are the salt of the earth, a light, a city is set on a hill. It cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:13-16. I guarantee you, as a result of these things we put on the board, your ability to do that is going to be drastically hindered. Now, I'm talking to a room full of Christians. Some of you not obeyed, and I wish you would. But when the invitations extend, I hope you come forward. But by and large, I'm talking to people who have obeyed. And you already know these things. You're convinced of these things. But we need to be reminded about them. Your ability to be sober-minded is going to be drastically hindered. Be sober. Titus 2 and then verse 6. Be sober, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5, 8. That means to think sober, clear-minded, clear-thinking, right-minded, in your right mind, which is impaired by drugs and alcohol and the like. Don't do anything, don't put anything in your body that is so going to alter your mind that will hinder you to really take care of yourself spiritually and to be on guard. We need every fiber of our being to be focused on the task at hand and what we wrestle and fight against. Ephesians chapter 6. Your ability to serve the Lord, just generally speaking, is going to be hindered. Getting up and getting yourself ready to come to be with those of like precious faith on the Lord's day to worship God in spirit and truth is going to drastically be hindered as a result of drugs and alcohol. You know, I don't feel like getting up and doing anything in the morning. You want to stay home and stay in bed, and so you fall prey to that, and you're not going to do as you would do sober-minded. Your ability to have the mind of Christ in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 is drastically going to be hindered. What was the mind of Christ in the context of that? To think on the things of others, to put the needs of others first on the list, even above your own self. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're involved with drugs and alcohol and the like, you're not going to have the mind that you ought to have that says, you know what, I will put others first. Why? Because you'll be absorbed with self. You'll be thinking about my next high, how I'm going to feel later on. Your ability to think on the things that you should. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are good, a good report, honest, true, and so forth. He lists several things there. He says, think on these things. Folks, when you're not in your right mind, you're not going to be able to think on those things. It's going to hinder your ability to do that. We talked about 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 in the Bible class this morning. Your ability to meet the needs of your family will be hindered as a direct result of drugs and alcohol and the like. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and then verse 8. I tell you, I don't know the number of families that we had just during the time that I was at social services, but a lot of them made lasting impressions on me. And I'll tell you one thing among other things, a lot of things that I learned, is you cannot paint with a broad brush every person who falls prey to the things we're talking about this morning. People are different. They get started for different reasons. They do it for different reasons. Their actions are different. People are individuals. And I worked with a lot of people that were just, I enjoyed working with them. They'd lost their children as a result of the drugs and alcohol or domestic violence or mental health issues, things even that they couldn't help, but they lost their children. But then they wanted to get their kids back, and it was a great joy to me, even after having to initially remove children, to work with that family to get the kids back home. And then to finally go to court and have a judge put those kids back into the home of some honest people who really took charge of their life, admitted their mistakes and their wrongdoing, and tried to sober up, get themselves in a position to have the kids back was a great joy of that job. But I remember one Christian couple especially. She was a Christian at the time, he wasn't. They had lost their kids to social services. She had sobered up. He did it. And he came into the office one day and he said, Donnie, I just can't do it. I'm trying with everything in me and I can get to about day 3 and I can't get any further because of the withdrawal. Finally, he got some help and got sobered up and they got their kids back. But your ability to meet your obligations to your family will drastically diminish as a result of drugs and alcohol. Your ability will be hindered to teach other people. And the Bible commands us to be in a position to teach other people, Matthew 28, verse 18 and following, and Mark 16, verse 15, and passages like that, or 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Got a responsibility to teach other people the truth. But if I'm engaged in these things, I told you 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, 2. But if I'm engaged in these things, I will have a diminished ability to be able to carry out teaching other people. I'm commanded to give unto the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. And that just doesn't stop with monetary giving. I think about what the psalmist declared in Psalm 29, 2. Given to the Lord the glory is due His name. There are things that God is owed that we are obligated to give. But under the influence of these things, my ability to do that would be drastically hindered. Why? Because I'll take my money and put it on other things. I won't be in a mind that is capable of even giving to God the glory that is due His name. My ability to submit to higher powers, Romans chapter 13, verse 1 and following, is going to be diminished. Getting out and breaking the law. Doing things which I ought not do. Violating the laws in which God has ordained civil government. Three institutions God ordained that we've talked about. There's a home, which was the first one that He ordained. Civil government, and then the church. All those things God put in place. Your ability to set your affection on things above will be drastically hindered. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above. Not on things below, not on things that are earthly or carnal. Worldly. But above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. Your ability to look unto Jesus, Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 2, will be greatly diminished. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father on high. Your ability to look to Jesus as opposed to looking to other things and other people will be diminished. Your ability to speak as you should. You ever been around a drunk or a person under the influence? They don't speak like they normally would, typically. But your ability to speak as you should will be diminished. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse, or 4 rather, and in verse 29. James 3, verses 9 and 10, he talks about just double speaking. Therewith, talking about the tongue, therewith curse we men that were created in the similitude of God, and therewith bless we God. And yet he says, brethren, these things ought not so to be. Your ability to act as you should will be diminished, be influenced. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, let your conversation or your conduct be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And then as you come over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, and notice what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 23, I hope all of our young people especially will listen to this and don't get yourself involved in the things that we're talking about on the board. Well, just a night or two, it's not going to matter. A lot of people didn't think it would matter, and then they were hooked. And it was just a downward spiral from there. Proverbs 23 and in verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long get wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. He already said, at last it biteth like a serpent. These things will befall you. You'll wake up the next day and can't even remember how you got that bruise. Can't even remember why you woke up where you did. You better be careful about that. Now what's the next part of this? When shall I wake? I will seek it yet again. Ladies and gentlemen, if that doesn't scream addiction, I don't know what does. Yet I will seek it again. It'll hinder your ability to follow the example of Jesus. He set an example before us in the context of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. He's talking about suffering. But he set an example before us. It'll hinder your ability from obeying the gospel of Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, talking to the Galatians, context that they were trying to go back and serve God under the Old Testament law of Moses. But he says, oh, Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes evidently Jesus Christ hath been set forth, crucified among you. You'll be hindered from obeying the gospel of Christ. And may be hindered and never be able to come back from that hindrance. Suppose you are able to control what you're doing today, but you went out and fell prey to some of these things, drugs and alcohol, got in an accident, and then were so mentally incapacitated that you couldn't control what you did. Just laid there. Need to think about those things. To hinder your lifespan, Psalm 90, verses 9 through 12. Our years are really just short time. 70 and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet we just soon cut off and we fly away. Verse 12, so teach us to number our years, our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. It will hinder your lifespan. Someone say, oh, no, this thing's not going to cut my life short. If you've been honest with yourself, you know it does. Now, maybe not to a degree that it does someone else, but it will hinder your lifespan. A very dear person that was very dear to me and close to me for a good number of years smoked all her life. And I would talk with her about it, and she'd say, my dad taught me how to roll and smoke rabbit tobacco before I was even going to school. And I don't even know what rabbit tobacco is. Some of you do. By your expression. But she talked about her father taught her how to do it. She'd roll and smoke it on the way to school. Walk to school. But all it did, it don't bother me. And yes, she suffered for a vast majority of the time that I can recall. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, coughing habitually, coughing up phlegm, not a good quality of life. When it came time that her earthly pilgrimage was drawn to an end, her family had to do not resuscitate on her. And it was difficult to sit by her bedside and watch her basically drown in her fluid from congestive heart failure until eventually she stopped breathing and died. But it doesn't bother me. Couldn't convince her. Ladies and gentlemen, it does bother you and affect it, even your lifespan. It will hinder your ability to go to heaven. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, and you know what this passage is talking about. He's talking about the works or the deeds of the flesh. And he says in verse 19 beginning, now the works of the flesh. I'll read verse 16 and we'll drop back down to 19. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. By the way, that's not Holy Ghost baptism. It's walking according to the direction of the Spirit as revealed in the Word of God. If you walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's walking according to the Word of God, as one parent wrote in the front cover of a Bible she gave to her child before they left the home. My son, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Take your pick. Then verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Things they didn't even put on the list. Now watch this. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't do anything by which you would be hindered from going to heaven. There's a lot of other things that you would be hindered from doing, I'm sure. That's just a few of them. But I want to notice some things in our rest of our time together, briefly, and you can get an outline of things that we must, as God's people, understand. We just simply got to understand these following things. I gave you 18 things of which would be hindered. Can you stand some things we must understand, shake or nod? I'll give you a few. 16 of them. You need to understand. We won't turn the passages and read them. Just listen to me. Get an outline if you need to. Jot them down. We must understand that as God's people, we are called to holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. Things which makes for peace and holiness, without which none shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. We've got to understand that we've got to be separate from what the world does. Not like the world, but separate from the world. 2 Corinthians 6:16-18. We've got to understand that the Bible calls upon us to abstain from every form or the appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. If it doesn't have a good look to it, don't do it. I'll go so far as to say, if the appearance isn't even good, if it hinders you in that way, don't do it. The Bible says we're to be dead to sin, Romans 6:1-14, and then 16-18. It does say in that passage, in the latter one, 16-18, don't you know that to him that you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are to whom you are obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. We're to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 6:15-20, and chapter 10:21-33, we're to set a good example. 1 Timothy 4:12. I had a lady tell me one time, east of here, it's more common than what you'd see probably here, but before and after service, it was just customary that men would stand outside on the porch and smoke. And sometimes you go to get in the building, you got to walk through a cloud of smoke before you get there. And I had a lady just straight out tell me, not a member of the church, who passed by, in order to get out of the creek, she'd have pass by the church building. She said, I will never go there if they stand for smoking. And she just won't come. Now that's not an excuse, don't get me wrong, but we've got to be careful about what we do. We are to let our light shine, Matthew 5:13-16, as we talked about earlier, not to hinder. If meat make my brother to offend, I will not eat meat as long as the world standeth. Don't do anything by which your brother will be hindered. We are to be a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1-2. We are to be a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4. We are to be a peculiar people. We are a purchased people. Unto God's own possession, a peculiar people, Titus 2:14. We are to do all by Christ's authority, Colossians 3:17. Can you put your finger on it? that authorizes it. Understanding these things will help us abstain from what I've put on the board, drugs, alcohol, tobacco, vaping. Do you agree? If not, why not? I've got a list. We're not going to talk about it now. Maybe I'll do that as an article in the bulletin. Excuses sometimes given as to why I can do these things. Several of them. I appreciate your good attention. In time to come, when our young people ask us, Dad, Mom, why can I not do these things? Why do you not do it, Mom and Dad? The world are doing these things. Does it really matter? Why should I abstain from them? I hope you'll be in a better position. Maybe you're already in a good position. I hope you'll be in a better position having now been reminded about these things. Should you be in the assembly this morning, not a Christian, you have opportunity to become one. Preacher, what must I do to be saved? Exactly what they did in the Bible to be saved. Here in the Gospel, Romans 10:17, believing in John 8:24. Repenting of your sins, turning from the ways of the world, and doing what is right. Luke 13:3-5. Confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. Romans 10:9-10. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And being baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. You want to go to heaven? You want to be Christ-like? Live your life for the Lord? You want to be like the world and go where the world's going when life is over? Choice is yours. Maybe you have obeyed in the past, but you've not been faithful as you should, and you realize that and you want to come home and do better, be restored. God's made provision for that. Acts 8, 1 John 1:9. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.